Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
We just love each other, and our heart is to love God's people and do our best that we can do for people. So we thank God. Thank God. It's been a blessed life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, so let's get into our Bible lesson this morning. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. So all this month we've been studying on faith, and last week we looked at the fact that when we believe God, time is involved, and sometimes we have to wait. And I know waiting is not something that we all enjoy, but you can enjoy your waiting time if you know what to do. Like me, for instance, if I have an appointment or a meeting, and it's the person is late, or the people that are supposed to be at the meeting are not there, I start twiddling my time. She start looking around, what's going on here? We all don't enjoy waiting, but it's part of the Christian walk. In some areas, we have to wait. But Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Let's start from verse 22. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Today, we want to focus on that phrase, and does not doubt, in verse 23, and does not doubt in his heart. And does not doubt in his heart. So we've looked at several aspects, what faith is, how it comes, how we can release it. And the last we looked at the fact that time is involved. But this phrase here, and does not doubt in his heart. And does not doubt in his heart. And does not doubt in his heart. But believe that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. So we'll look at other stories in the Bible that had to do with doubt. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Okay, Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Matthew 14, 25. Actually, let's start from 23. It says, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, notice the phrase, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The disciples were in a storm. Jesus had been ministering. He dismissed the crowds and then went by himself to pray. That is significant. He always took time to pray. That was the secret of the success of his ministry. But when the evening came, these disciples had run into the storm. They were beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost or it is a spirit. It's the same word, translated as spirit. If you were on a lake around here somewhere and you saw somebody walking on the water, you will be afraid too. They said it is a ghost. They cried out in fear. People don't normally in the natural walk on water. So naturally they were afraid. Oh, but notice what my lovely Jesus said. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Every time that God appeared in the Bible, or an angel appeared in the Bible, or Jesus appeared to people, they never, never, never come with a message of fear. They will always say, be of good cheer. Do not be afraid. Oh, because he wants you, because fear is going to stop your faith. We'll see that as we read. But he said to them, take heart, do not be afraid. It is I. And Peter said, oh, I love Peter. He's always the first to speak up. If it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. He said, come. He said, come. He said, come. And Peter began, so he said, come. Verse 29, so Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. Let's all say that this morning. He walked on the water. Let's repeat it. He walked on the water. So many times we criticize Peter for sinking, but don't criticize anybody or Peter or anybody till you've done better than they can. You haven't walked on water yet. Because Jesus hasn't told you to walk on water. But the disciples of Andrew, his brother, may be the one just pulling on him and saying, you are my only brother. There are waves out there. Please don't get yourself into this sea. Please stay here. But he got out on the word of Jesus and came to Jesus. But let's notice what happened. He says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out. He started out on the word of Jesus. He started out on what Jesus had said. He started out and obeyed Jesus. He put out and went on the water and began to walk. And I mean, like I said, you can talk about the fact that he started sinking, but he was the only person that walked on the water. He was the only person that had faith in the word of Jesus to step out and walk on the water. But you have to understand that the wind was still as strong as they were before he started. But so long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, and so long as he kept his eyes on the word that Jesus had spoken, he was perfectly all right. You see, in life, we come against, things, we come against, circumstances come against us. It may be, your storm may be different than what Peter faced out here. But the fact of the matter is, we do go through troubles in life. Jesus in John 16:33 said, in this world you have troubles, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. But the key here is to keep our eyes on Jesus. No matter the storms of life that come against us, we must endeavor to keep our eyes on the Lord. Somebody will say, I don't see Jesus. How can I keep my eyes on him? Remember John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word later on became flesh and dwelt among us. If you have the Word of God in your hand, when you are looking at it, you are looking at Jesus. You can look at his promises. You can look at his word. You can encounter and get to know Jesus through his word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So Peter got out and began to walk on the water. But when he saw, he got some results when he stepped out. So many times in our Christian walk, we may begin to see results as we endeavor to walk on the word of God, to walk by the word of God. But when the trials and the tribulations come, when the tests come along our way, there is a tendency for us to take our eyes off of Jesus, to take our eyes off of his word. That caused us to start getting results to begin with and look on the circumstances. As soon as you take your eyes off of Jesus, as soon as you take your eyes off of his word, if you trace your steps, that is when you begin to sing. But I pray that that will not be your testimony in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Don't take your eyes off of his word. No matter what you may be confronted with, keep your eyes on Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And another thing as well is a miracle started, but it never got consummated in the life of Peter. A miracle began so many times, and sometimes in the area of healing, or in any area, God may start working in our lives, but it never comes to full fruition because we take our eyes off of him in the middle of the process. In the name of Jesus, I pray that that will not be your testimony. You will keep your eyes on Jesus. And then notice what he said. He says, he cried out, Lord, save me. That's one of the shortest prayers in the Bible. You know why he said those words? And he didn't say a lot of prayers. If he had said too much, the ocean would have been on top of him. He cried out, Lord, save me. And the Lord Jesus, in his mercy, in his grace, stretched out his hand and saved him. You see, if 2 Corinthians 5:7 talks about the fact that we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. When you are walking by faith, you are walking by the word of God, which is invisible. You are not looking at the storms of life. You are not looking at the things that come against you in life that will endeavor to send you under. You keep your eyes on his word. It is so important. It is so important. The waves may be beaten against you. The storm may come against you. But what you do in the middle of the storm is what will determine the outcome. Oh, I remember, Joshua, our first son, when he was born, his leg wasn't straight. And the doctor said they had to do a surgery on him. And in our house, that doesn't fly. I don't know about you. It doesn't work. But we said no. In the name of Jesus, those legs will be made straight. And once we said that, we even forgot about it. As far as we were concerned, it was a settled issue. It was done and it was settled, and we refused for the enemy to steal from us. And so one day, several weeks after, we were coming from church, and we looked at his, we're doing something, and we looked at his leg, and we said, look, his legs are straight, glory be to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Walking by faith and not by sight, that the storms of life come to all of us. But the key here is to keep our eyes On the Lord Jesus. One day I was working for a certain company, and they were going to sell the company, and but I knew who my God is. I knew who my God is, so I kept a positive attitude throughout the whole period, and I even went the extra mile to help them prepare the network that we were working on for sale. And one of the people that I work with in the other company, sometimes late at night, they will call, and I will gladly help this person. I'll gladly help them. And it turned out that in the process of time, I went for another interview. And this person that I had worked with in the past, sometimes late night, was on the same panel that were interviewing me. And he put in a good word for me. And I got the job. But when a company is getting ready to sell, and you know that you don't have a future with that company, you know that you don't have a future with them, there is a tendency like, I mean, what's the use? But no, in the midst of the storms of life, stand your ground. Oh, your children may be out there. You don't may not even know where they are. Stand your ground. Keep your eyes on the word. Sometimes you wonder, will God heal me? Will God turn this situation around? Will God turn my finances around? I can tell you that Jesus, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you can look at him in his word, if you can see the invisible, he will turn the circumstances of your life to his glory. If you believe that this morning, say amen. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's get back to our friend Peter here. Jesus immediately reached out his hand, verse 31, and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? That means that he must have walked closely to Jesus, close enough for Jesus to be able to reach him and take him out. Whether you took a step, even if you took one step, that's a miracle. Even if he took two steps, that's a miracle. He walked on the water, but doubt robbed him of God's very best that he had for him. Jesus didn't intend that he would start sinking. He intended that he would walk to him and then they will go back. But eventually they did. He walked back with him to the boat. That was the perfect will of Jesus for his life. But doubt robbed him of God's very best for him. You see, doubt is a thief. It robs us of God's very best. The Greek word there is diastasis. It means to waver. There are three Greek words in the New Testament for doubt. This one here means to waver. He didn't receive God's very best for him because he doubted the word of Jesus. Let's look at another company of people as well that missed out on God's very best for them. Thank you, Lord. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Matthew 13, 58. He says, and he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. This was Jesus ministering in Nazareth. If you read the earlier verses, they said, I mean, we know him. We know his brother. We know his mother. We knew him when he was a carpenter. We knew him when he was in diapers. What is he saying that God has anointed him to do miracles? What happened? He did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He did not do it. Unbelief robbed a whole town of God's best and God's blessing for them. You see, doubt and unbelief are twins. Notice the account in Mark chapter 6, verse 5. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Verse 4 says, and Jesus said to him, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and among his relative and in his own household. Notice verse 5. And he could do no mighty work there except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. It didn't say he didn't. He couldn't. Read it carefully. And he could do no mighty work there. The other one said because of their unbelief, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And verse 6 says, and he marveled because of their unbelief. A whole town got robbed of God's best because of their unbelief. The Greek literally says he laid his hands on a few sickly people with minor ailments. Jesus was just as much as anointed on this day as he was anywhere else. He came announcing the good news. He came preaching the good news. You see, sometimes when we just say, if God will do it, he will do it. No, he works with us. This is Jesus. I mean, think about Peter. He was one of the closest followers of Jesus. And he doubted. This is the whole town, the Jews. They were the covenant people of God. He went into their town and only a few sickly people with minor ailments got healed. That's significant. He marveled. I am anointed with this power. He wants to do them good. So that means that in Nazareth, not a blind person was healed. Not a person with a deaf ear. I mean, when somebody is blind, that's not minor. When somebody is deaf, in other places, blind people got healed. Blind Bartimaeus was sitting on the edge of Jericho. He got healed. In Jerusalem, he's spat into clay, put it on somebody's eye, and the person got healed. No, he could dare do no mighty work. He couldn't. Because of their unbelief. In Nazareth, there were paralyzed people that could have been healed. There were blind people that could have been healed. There were deaf people that could have been healed. But unbelief robbed a whole town. God robbed Peter. In this case, a whole town was robbed because they will not believe. He marveled. How can you not believe? They threw him out of town. Actually, there was a cliff that they would have put him in to be done with him. Jesus is still the same, but he wants us to believe his word. He wants us to believe him. He wants us to believe his word and believe him. That's what makes the difference in our life. Oh, when in any area, think about it. This is will to save everyone, give everyone the new birth. This is will to heal everyone. But he wants people just to believe him. Just to believe him. You see, doubt is evil. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 13, verse 32. Doubt is evil. He calls it evil. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 32, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Numbers chapter 13, this is when the 12 spies came back and they brought an evil report of the land. Verse 32 says, so they brought to the people of Israel a bad report. This translation says a bad report. The other translation says an evil report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Enoch, who come from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. They sent out the spies. 10 people brought an evil report. We can't take the land. God said, I have given you the land. They came back and said, we cannot. He called it an evil report. They didn't believe. I am sending you to a good land. I have a good plan for you. Doubt and unbelief. Eventually, the bad news, the bad report, the evil report spread to the whole nation, and so a whole nation was robbed of the land and the very best that God had for them. Doubt and unbelief and fear are thieves. They rob us of God's very best. God says, I'm taking you to a good land. They said, no. He's a mean God. He brought us into this land in some place they said, for the wilderness to swallow us up. It robbed them of God's very best for them. It robbed them of God's very best for them. They had God's word for it. God had already spoken to them. But they missed out on his very best. They missed out on his very best. Notice what he says about them in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 to 5. This is how he described them. He says, all these things were written for our example, so that we will not fall after the same manner of unbelief. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 5. Thank you, Lord. It says, for I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then verse 6 says that, now these things took place as example for us that we might not desire evil as they did. They all went through the same experience. But of that generation, only Joshua and Caleb, they said, we can go take the land. Let's go do it. These people are bred for us. Only they and the people that were under 20 years, when this happened, they were the only ones that received and went into the land. So he's saying that these things were written for our examples. These things were written for our examples. That we will not fall like they did. Notice what he said about them again in Hebrews chapter 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, while the promise of entering, Hebrews 4:1, entering his rest still stand, let us fear lest any of you seem to have failed to reach it. Notice, for good news, or the gospel, came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listen. We who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, I swore in my wrath, thou shalt not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. He said that there's a promise for you and I. The same way God had promised a rest for them. There is a rest. There's a rest of faith that God has prepared for us. But we should not seem to have failed to reach it. We should not fail like they did. What is this saying? The good news, the gospel, came to us as well as to them. But to them that it came to, it did not profit them, because it was not mixed by faith. It was not united by faith in them that had it. You see, it is mixing the word of God with faith. It is believing the word of God that causes it to come to pass in our lives. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He calls it, the gospel simply means good news. Jesus said, I'm here. I'm here. He told the people of Nazareth, I have come to preach the gospel to the poor. I am anointed. I have come to heal the sick, make the blind see, let the oppressed go free. They didn't believe it, so they didn't get anything. These people, the same way, the people of Israel, God was telling them good news. They said, no, we won't believe it. So he's cautioning us that we have to mix the word of God with faith. Believe what God is telling you. Believe what God is telling you. God says what he means, and he means what he says. Believe. Believe his word. That's what causes it to come to pass in our lives. Let's look at another company of people here. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. Thank you, Lord. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. All these things are written for our example. I see you receiving all that God has for you in the mighty name of Jesus. If that's you, say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 17, 14 says, and when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him and, kneeling before him, said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and he suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. Notice, they could not heal him. And Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? I wonder what he would say to us these days. Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was instantly healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Notice he said to them, because of your little faith. The King James said, because of your unbelief. For truly, I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And let's all say that this morning, nothing will be impossible for you. Just say, you means me. Say it louder. The you that means me. The you that means me. Nothing will be impossible for you if you believe the word of God. What may seem to be impossible today is not impossible with God. And when you believe his word, nothing will be impossible to you. If you believe that, say amen this morning. My Lord and my God. Notice, what was the reason that he told them that they failed? He said, because of their unbelief. You see, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, he had commissioned them and gave them the charge. He said, Matthew 10, 1, he says, and he called to him, Matthew 10, 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. He already has given them the word. Did he say some unclean spirit? No, that's not what he said. He says all unclean spirit. Not except the one that they encountered there. Am I reading this from the same Bible that you are reading from? He gave them authority over unclean spirit to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The man said, I brought him to your disciples and they could not. So that means that they must have been trying it. They must have been doing it. You wouldn't take your child to somewhere where they believe that when the last apostles died, everyone, the healing stopped with the last apostles. You wouldn't do that. You are taking him to a place where you know that these people, potentially, they can do it. And later on they said, Jesus Christ, why could we not? Why could we not? Means that they have been doing it. You remember at some point somebody came and was using the name of Jesus, and the disciples said, he's not with us, so stop him. So people were using the name of Jesus. They must have been doing it. You wouldn't call another person and say, I couldn't repair this car if you have not been repairing cars. That's the sense. So they could not. But what was the reason that Jesus Christ? He's already giving them authority. He's giving them the right to do it. And here they are. They failed. So they said, Jesus, tell us. Why did it not work this time? Why did it not happen? What's the issue here? He said, because of your unbelief. Unbelief robbed these disciples of God's very best that he had for them. Because of your unbelief, they couldn't do it. Do you realize that we have the same promise? We have the same promise. He's told us to do the same thing. In John 14, 12, he says, the work that I do, greater. You will do the same and greater. Greater works than these would you do. Notice what he said to the disciples and to us as well in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Thank you, Lord. He's given us the same authority and power. And when we believe and act on his word, then miracles are the result. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world. That's our promise. And proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. These signs will accompany the preacher. No. You as well. Those who believe in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Who will do the casting out of the demons? Those who believe. Who will speak with new tongues? Those who believe. Who will lay hands on the sick? Those who believe. These signs should accompany us. Oh, when you go to work and somebody says that they are sick, point out this scripture to him. There was a certain woman, she was very elderly, and all she did was, she says, I couldn't read. At some point in my life, when my husband went out to work, I didn't have anything to do. I said, God, I only know how to read the Bible. What else can I do? God told her that, don't you have hands? And she said, yes, look at this scripture. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He says, yes, I use my hands to bake bread. I still have hands. I may not be as educated as everybody. I may not be educated and know to do everything, but I have hands. So you know what she did? Between 9 and 3, she got up and said, to knock on doors, is there anyone that is sick in this neighborhood? And she said, when I went out there, these people were very sick. And when people are sick, I say, is there anything I can help you with do in this house? And then she began to help them. And when you help people, they are open to anything, especially when they are sick and don't know what to do. And he said, I'll go for 3 days. The first day, we'll just have talk about general things, and I'll talk about Jesus and try to introduce them to Jesus and get them saved. Then I'll go the second day. Then I'll go the third day. By then, they are opened up to me. And then he said, I'll open up the scripture to him and say, this is what Jesus said. They that believe will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And what I will do is, and the people will say, is that in the Bible? Is that in the Bible? Yeah. He said, yeah, it's in the Bible. It's right here. Then lay hands on me, I'll be healed. And she laid hands on them, and they were healed. And then she kept going. She kept going. She kept going. And she got results just by simply believing the word of God, and that is faith. Believing the word of God and acting on it. And acting on it. Act on it. Act on it. Jesus will back you up. 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 Believing his word and acting on it will produce results. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Let's look at one more scripture. 2 Kings 7:1. But Elijah said, we'll wrap up with this. But Elijah said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Tomorrow, about this time, a seer of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. That is about 64 cents. 2 Kings, my Lord. 2 Kings chapter 7. Mercy. 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings. Tomorrow, by this time, you see, this famine was very great in the land. People were selling were actually boiling their children and eating their children. A very sore famine in the land. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. I got it right. But Elijah said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel, at the gate of Samaria. Then the captain on whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God, if the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, could this be? He's doubting. Doesn't believe what God has said. But he said, you will see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. That's how serious doubt is. The man of God said, despite what the famine that is going on in the land, tomorrow by this time, there will be such abundance that food will be so common that things that you cannot even find will be selling them for the equivalent of 64 cents. This man said, if God himself should make windows in heaven, it's not possible. He doesn't believe the word of the Lord. The man of God said to him, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not partake of it. That's serious. You will see it with your eyes, but you will not partake of it. Now, verse 3 says that there were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate, and they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? I can spend a whole month on just that phrase. If we say, let us enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. So they went. And notice verse 16 says, then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 sets of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And then this person was outstanding at the entrance of the gate. The one who didn't believe, he got trampled underfoot. But an abundance came to the land. Oh, the word of God prevailed. This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, no matter the dry place in your life, no matter the area of your life, the circumstance of your life that looks like it will send you under and send you and cause you to fail, I have come to announce to you by the word of the Lord that if you will believe his word, his deliverance, he will deliver you. He will deliver you. He will deliver you. He will deliver you. He will take you out of that water, out of that storm. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Don't, if your faith is little, don't even despise it. Little faith will get little result. But keep exercising your faith. Oh, but Jesus is always willing to help you along the way. If you can believe his word, I can assure you that your best days are here. Your best days are here. I hear the sound of abundance. Your health. He wants to come into that area and transform your life. Believe the word of the Lord. That family circumstances, it hasn't gone too far. Notice what he said. If you have faith as a seed and say, if you have faith as a seed and release it out of your mouth, nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing. In the name of Jesus, the impossible circumstances of your life that seem that they will never move, by the word of the Lord, I see them moving in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If you believe that, say amen this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Doubt and unbelief and fear are robbers. Let's all say this morning, doubt, I resist you. I refuse to doubt. I refuse to be robbed by doubt and unbelief and fear. In the name of Jesus, I resist you. I will receive God's very best for my life. I will receive his best for my life. I refuse to be robbed. In Jesus' name, give him praise and glory this morning. Give him praise and glory this morning. Give him praise and glory this morning. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I see you receiving his very best in this season in the name of Jesus. Oh, that word that he has spoken to you, it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. As you believe his word, thank you, Lord. Great little faith only goes so far. Great faith goes a big feather. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, the centurion, he received God's very best. May you receive his very best in this season. In this, as we wrap up this month, before the end of the year, everything that God has packaged for you, may you receive it in Jesus' mighty name. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's close our eyes this morning. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, refuse to be robbed. I don't like to be robbed, even in the natural, much more spiritually. No, no. Thank you, Lord. Think about what you heard this morning. It makes all the difference in your life. Think about it. Talk to God this morning. Praise Him for His word. Thank Him for His word. Thank Him for His word. His presence is here this morning. His presence is here this morning. Talk to Him in the mighty name of Jesus. Peter cried out, God, Jesus heard him. Talk to Him in the mighty name of Jesus. No matter what may be the issue, talk to God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Faith to walk on the circumstances and not be underneath it. Faith to fulfill all that God has for you. Think about it. Nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. He said in James chapter 1, he said, he who doubts, shouldn't even think he will receive anything from the Lord. But if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Talk to God. Praise Him for His word this morning. Praise Him for His word this morning. Praise Him for His word this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, talk to God. Don't let it go in one ear and come out the other. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. That's what makes the difference in the Christian walk. Walking by faith and not by sight. Believing the word of God, He has prepared a place of rest for you. But as you mix His word with faith, you will receive. As you obey, what He tells you. He says, so He's prepared so much for us. But so many times we won't obey Him and we won't do what He says. But consecrate to Him and say, Lord, I will believe You. Lord, I will obey Your word and do whatever You tell me to do. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And this morning, if you are here, or if you are watching us or listening to this after the fact, or watching us online, and you have never made a commitment to Jesus, and for you, the storms of life are beating up on you, and you have no way out, your way of escape first is Jesus. Jesus said He is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way out of your predicament. If you want to begin a relationship with Him, just raise up your hand. And we will pray with you this morning. Now, putting a car in the garage doesn't make it a house. Now, coming to church doesn't save you. It's a good step. But receiving Jesus does. Oh, if you're listening to me, say, Lord, to receive me. They say, Lord Jesus, I've heard Your word. I believe You are raised from the dead. I confess You. The same Jesus is the one that heals you. He's the same person that fills you with the Holy Spirit and gives you a new language to communicate with. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, thank You. You are my healer. You are my provider. Oh, Lord, I receive healing in my body. Destroy my sickness. In Jesus' mighty name. From the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. Thank You. I'm healed. In Jesus' name. Let's worship Him before we go. Thank You. Ministering to us this morning. Thank You for transforming our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. May we not be robbed of God's very best for us. Of God's very best for us. but may we receive your very best. And may we yield our lives to you as well, saying, Lord, we will do your will. We will obey your will. Whatever you tell us to do, we will do it. 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 In the name of Jesus. Let's raise up our hands to him this morning. Thank you, Lord. Let's say, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, Lord. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight, and to receive all that you have for us, and to fulfill all that you have for us. And now, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you. And may he give you his peace, his shalom. May he surround you with his favor like a shield. May every impossible circumstance before you bow and be moved at the name of Jesus. Receive his very best this week. May goodness and mercy follow you all the days of this week, all the rest of the days of this year. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone say a big amen. Amen. Oh, say amen. I don't know about you. I'm glad I came to church this morning. I'm so glad I made it.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.